The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, the third day of April 2024. Hope all is well with you. We got a lot to focus on today. There are two weird things. Just one is just a bad headline writer, and the other is just a bad phraseology in a story. So two curious things on the nation's two premier conservative, supposedly, news websites. We'll take a look at that. It's funny because in the Trump VP derby, everybody's always peppering me with who do you want? And look, there's a list of folks with whom I'd be fine. Mike and I were talking yesterday that it would be the most Trumpian thing for him to just sort of reach out and grab somebody that we're not even really talking about at all. There's buzz about DeSantis, which may or may not happen. There's buzz about Tim Scott, and I love Senator Scott, but my interest in him is on the wane for some reason. I've expressed a certain glint in my eye politically for J.D. Vance in Ohio. And this morning I was listening to Hugh Hewitt interview Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, who offered up something I've offered up frequently, and that is some serious interest in Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, because if the name of the game is really good on messaging, under 80, which is always good, fighting spirit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, happens to be a woman, which is lovely. That can never guide the pick. Race and sex and other things, irrelevancies, can never guide the pick. That's how you get Pete Buttigieg as transportation secretary. Is there any way this guy has this job if he's not gay? And don't even get me started, or you can, on Vice President Harris, who doesn't come within a mile of that gig if she's not a woman of color. Listen, I don't care about gay people in important jobs. I don't care about the pigment or the plumbing, as I've said, race and sex, I don't care. But when those things are driving the train, when those things are more important than qualifications and fitness for office, Houston, we have a problem. It is that mindset, the notion that race and sex and other irrelevancies need to be launched to the top of the criteria list. That's what gave us the poison that is DEI. DEI is diversity, equity, inclusion. Three really hijacked words, because diversity is wonderful when it happens naturally, but when it's force-fed, it's a disaster. Equity is not the same as equality of opportunity. Equity is where you've got to force-feed an equal result, no matter what the qualifications or gifts are of the people involved. And that is just workplace and governmental and societal poison. And inclusion, okay, that's great. Being welcoming, being kind, those are wonderful human attributes. But what it generally means is forcing people, often against their will, against their consciences, against their ethics, to accept behaviors and prospects that they just shouldn't have to endure. So let everybody just get out there and be what you are, and let your gifts take you as far as they can in government, in education, in the workplace. That's the way we ought to be. DEI is poison. In Texas, we got rid of it, supposedly, in a Senate bill called SB 17, and it had to absolutely kill them in Austin. because Governor Abbott signed SB 17, and that means that the universities had to get rid of their DEI offices. And you might think, okay, how many people are in the DEI office? I mean, how many folks do you need with that on the business card just to walk around and make sure there's enough bean counting, enough quotas, enough racism, enough race preferences to keep the DEI beast fed? And in the case of UT Austin, looks like about 60. So the DEI ban goes into effect down in Longhorn Country, and UT lays off 60 people, indicating just how expensive and unwieldy and ridiculous that entire thing was. Evan Anderson has a story on Channel 5 this very morning about everybody freaking out about that and everybody's all upset. When the right people are upset, you know you've done the right thing. When the right people's hair is on fire, you know you've done the right thing. And we've definitely done the right thing in getting a DEI, CRT, critical race theory, all the alphabet soup that is racist, that does hinder real progress in race relations. This stuff must be purged, and we're doing it. And some other states are too, and that's wonderful. And so we'll examine some of that. Our buddy Mike Gallagher, of course, joins us at 7:35. Every day is like prepping Mike for Japan. I figured out how to do on my phone what Mike was trying to do yesterday, and that's it's essentially Google Translate on the iPhone. I'll give it a try. It may fail as spectacularly as it did with him. He said, I need to find the bathroom. It's a crazy thing, and we'll give that a test and maybe give Mike some useful phrases that he might need in Tokyo next week. But he's here now, and we'll be talking to him at 7:35. Well, we have many, many things to talk about. 866-660-5759. That's how you do that. 866-660-5759. That's how you call us. That's how you text us on the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. Look what they did there. The ViaScan text line. Same number. 866-660-5759. But hey, let's communicate in the old-fashioned way with the God whom we celebrated. Him, his son, the resurrection. Just this past Easter, we keeping the Easter spirit alive. Easter's great. Got to keep it going. It's not just one day. That renewal, that redemption, the power of the resurrection, the power of that spirit. Got to keep it going on Easter Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Got to keep it going. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge, so lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, where our elections are reliable, where our borders work, where we protect the unborn, where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and freedoms of worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many, many blessings, so many, in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Speaking of our great state of Texas, my brand spanking new, just posted, I think, in the last hour or so, Star Telegram column is about the fate of two Texas political titans. Talk about paths traveling in different directions, and the big names are Ken Paxton and Dade Phelan. For those who have spent the last few months hitching their political wish list to the destruction of Ken Paxton, and for those who will spend the next few weeks hitching their political stars to the remaining death rattle of Dade Phelan, these are tough times. And as I've said, there are two kinds of people in Texas, those who realize what's going on and those who don't. And I seek to help you realize what's going on in today's Star Telegram column. So check that out. And, you know, hey, I may just share it with you here as we plow forward. Okay, let me tell you about these two weird website moments. All right. The first, and Hugh played this, and it was great. It's Trump in Wisconsin last night, and he says, you know, what the hell was Joe Biden thinking, turning Easter into a day of visibility for trans people? Crowd goes, well, I tell you what we're going to do. You know what the election's going to be done? The election, November 5th, you know what that's going to be called? That's going to be called Christian Visibility Day. You know, meaning, you know, Christians will be very visible, at the polls. It's a wonderful turn of a phrase. It's just great. Now, I don't know. So over at Fox News, you know what the headline is? Trump vows to create new holiday after Biden issues trans proclamation on Easter Sunday. Trump vows to create new holiday. Are people stupid? No, he didn't. He's not talking about creating a real, actual holiday. Number one, we got enough holiday. He was talking about you're going to think that if you let so many people of faith are going to rise up, and part of his win is going to be righteous indignation over this trans lunacy, over no borders, over fascism stamping out your biblical views, just all these things. It will be like Christian Visibility Day as people of faith show up at the polls. That's what he meant. My dog knows that. And yet, I don't know if they just got an early morning dumb intern. Trump vows to create Christian Visibility Day. Just stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. All right. That's just a dumb headline. Let me go to something that is weirder, way weirder and troubling. Let's play a little game called I'll read the first sentence of a story from a website, and you tell me what website you think it is. Ready? Here we go. Donald Trump called immigrants in the United States illegally animals and not human in a speech in Michigan on Tuesday, resorting to the degrading rhetoric he has employed time and again on the campaign trail. Right? Donald Trump called immigrants in the United States illegally animals and not human in a speech in Michigan on Tuesday. Resorting to the degrading rhetoric he has employed time and again on the campaign trail. Who's that? CNN? The Blaze? MSNBC? Daily Beast? Any of the other Trump-hating covens? That would be Newsmax. I know. Get the car back on the road. What? Now, we are the Words Mean Things talk show, and I had somebody text me already saying, tell me where it's wrong. It's just like, okay. Did Trump say that particularly the killers, the monsters, the folks who we find not just in America illegally, but who, you know, kill people and, you know, drag across steamer trunks full of fentanyl, et cetera, did he call those particularly dangerous illegal immigrants, animals, and not human? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And you could like or not like that those metaphors. But yes, that's accurate. Here's the issue. Resorting to the degrading rhetoric he has employed time and again on the campaign trail.
Huh.
Now, is it degrading to call somebody an animal or not human? Well, it's not a compliment. Here's the problem as I've come to unpack it. If you talk about somebody using degrading rhetoric, usually it's like not deserved. For example, if somebody, if we speak ill of jihadists, you know, terrible terrorists, if we really slam Hamas, if we speak ill of anyone, would anybody say that that is using degrading rhetoric? Well, not really, because they so totally deserve it, right? So degrade, in the general vernacular, in the colloquial sense, referring to degrading rhetoric, we usually affix that to somebody who is really being harsh to someone undeservedly, really being mean and nasty, and unduly so. So that's the usual manner of the usual context of such a characterization. And to find that in a Newsmax story is weird. Just saying. All right, 866-660-5759. We are in Fort Worth. Robert, welcome. Happy Wednesday. How are you, sir?
I'm well, sir. Thank you very much for asking.
Sure.
I was calling in specifically to get a little more information from you about the topic of vouchers. I know everybody talks about legislation and everybody's on board with it, and it's a big topic. But I don't think, just in the time I've been listening to you, which is for a while, I don't ever hear you really talk about the nuts and bolts of it, getting into the weeds, why it's so important. And I'd like a little more information.
Let me give you a quick 60-second overview, and then you tell me what you think. School choice is important, and the vast majority of Texans want it, and Republican legislators who have blocked it and thwarted it are paying the price for it, because the government schools model has proven tricky, and we all pay our taxes into that, and that is our money. And so what school choice is it says, look, if you're going to be paying money to the state for education, you can use it in a couple of ways. You can go to the public school down the street, lovely, or if that's not something you want to do, because the public school down the street is an indoctrination factory, or they have guys walking around in drag as your chemistry teacher, which happened in the Louisville ISD, or we have drag shows in the library, or ridiculous things on the school shelves about having 47 genders, that maybe you ought to get some of your money back, because it is your money, and use that and apply that to the school of your choice, which may or may not be a religious school, may or may not be a charter school, may or may not be 2 miles from your house. But it is school choice, a voucher where you get to spend your money and have some latitude over how your kids are educated. To which you would say?
So long term, are we talking about completely dismantling the current government system, and eventually it all goes to charter? Because I'm not saying this is what I want. I'm not saying
understand.
One way or the other. I'm just asking, like,
the people, the folks who are petrified of this are the people who just don't want the competition. The public school monopoly doesn't want the competition. I think competition will rise. The rising tide will lift all the boats. Public schools will become better. It's great news for everybody. In no way are we going to see the complete erosion of, the complete extinction of the public school system. Not at all. That's a fear tactic that a lot of people have used in opposition to vouchers.
Okay.
All right.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, does someone have a grand plan at the end of this vote? Like, how do you see it playing out?
Fair question. I mean, 50 years from now, will there be a public school system? Will this be the beginning of, a snowball rolling downhill where just virtually all of this is privatized? I just don't think so. I think what we will have is better public schools, maybe somewhat fewer, 15%, 20% fewer traditional public schools down the road, as the marketplace drifts toward some that are private, some that are religious, as people get the opportunity to spend their tax money in ways that fit their families better. You'll see a marketplace that'll move in that direction, but no, we will not have the extinction of the public school system, even though the founding fathers never, ever, ever envisioned such a vast enterprise of government schools. Superb question, sir, and thank you. I appreciate it. And as always, my answers are up for grabs at 866-660-5759. It's 725.
Down in the boondocks.
1965.
Down in the boondocks.
Billy Joe Royal. What a great record. Billy Joe Royal was born this date, 82 years ago, passed away back in 2015.
Lord, have mercy on a boy from down in the boondocks.
All right. tonight, a boy from the talk show Boondocks who has certainly made good. Our buddy Mike Gallagher joins us next, right after a visit to the newsroom. That is Nikki Whaley's World. Here she is. The Vapors. Haven't played this record in a long time. All right, before we get to anything, I think I've mastered this. We tried it yesterday.
Oh, I have too.
Okay, really?
I figured it out.
I didn't
push the blue button. You want me to do it?
I've got exactly. So you first. Let's try it again.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it first. Google Translate.
Key phrases you'll need, but I'll shut up. Go ahead. Give it a try.
Listen, and I'm a nationalist. I'm MAGA. I'm America. I can't believe I'm going to get on a plane and fly 90 hours to go to the other side of the world.
That's fantastic,
and talk.
Though.
I'm a little nervous about the language because I can't imagine. Because normally I assume everybody speaks English.
No.
I don't think everybody speaks English in Japan.
From what I've given to understand, in large city centers like Tokyo, English is easy to find. In the hinterlands, less so. But that's true of most countries. In big capitals where lots of tourists, they know who's there spending money. So you'll find just some English. But if you can't, here's Mike with a techno update.
Well, like if you're getting a cab or you're trying to get directions or whatever, I've got this Google Translate app now on my phone. I think I know how to do it, and this is what you do. You push the button.
Right.
I thought this was a legitimate massage parlor. Okay? So there's, and then.
And there you go.
There you
See?
Go.
Now, here,
there
let
you
me
go.
Give you one back in return. Here's something else you'll need. I need a foot rub in first class on this train.
Push the blue.
There you go.
Okay. There you go. I mean, I've got this. I'm not going to have any problem. I'm going to soar through Japan. I had somebody tell me yesterday, somebody in the know, somebody who people know, I'll put it this way, they've seen this person on TV.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
Who warned me. April 8th, something very bad is going to happen in the United States.
It's the eclipse.
It's the eclipse,
right.
And it is the potential for one of those electromagnetic pulses.
No. This is Y2K all over again.
This person is not even going to leave the house on April the 8th. And they said to me, you're lucky you're going to be in Japan.
Outside of the totality zone.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get back?
If society collapses, you'll be trapped doing shows from Japan for the rest of your life. That's if the tsunami doesn't eat it. Did you hear the Okinawa?
Oh, yeah.
Because you got a 7.5 Richter scale thing in Taiwan. So that part of the world, the tectonic plates are ready to welcome you.
That's the Gallagher family travels. I mean, we're going where there's tsunamis and earthquakes. Yep. I mean, nine people, horrible. 9 people killed so far in Taiwan, 7.5
every prayer
on the Richter scale, and then a tsunami warning for the mainland of Japan. I'm getting out my map. I ain't real good on geography, but I'm thinking, great. That's great. And of course, storms here today in Tampa Bay. I'm worried about hail and tornadoes. The locusts are coming. I mean,
frogs dropping from the sky.
When I'm seeing Newsmax look like MSNBC,
that is weird.
The locusts are weird.
So weird.
Mark, it's profound. Now, I'm being told on X, because I posted about this a lot.
Right.
You talked about it a few minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
Story from Newsmax that I swear I was convinced was an MSNBC story. I thought, well, this isn't. Trump calls migrants animals on campaign, and Michigan stop. And as you said, the language of the degrading language, blah, blah, blah. Listen, he was talking about the killer of Lake and Riley.
Right. Is it degrading to use harsh adjectives about him?
So Newsmax is going the route of don't even use the phrase illegal immigrant because that's degrading to the illegal immigrants. These people. Now, I guarantee you I know what's going on.
What do you think?
The elites are terrified of Trump's return. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have infiltrated places like Newsmax. Ooh. How else can you describe? How else can you explain this, Mark?
This apparently posted around dinner time last night or something. And let me give everybody the exact sentence once again. Donald Trump called immigrants in the United States illegally animals and not human in a speech in Michigan on Tuesday, resorting to the degrading rhetoric he has employed time and again on the campaign trail.
Now, wait a minute. Stop. This is fascinating because the article you sent me, because you and I, like a couple of teenagers, always text each other. what you sent me doesn't contain the language you just read.
It's the
Where are you reading that from?
You showed me a screenshot, and everybody's been using a screenshot. In that screenshot is one of those little bit.ly links of what the actual story is, the actual story that I sent you. Okay, I sent you the story. Read it.
You did.
And that's the first paragraph of it.
It's been edited. I'm telling you, Mark, it's not the first paragraph. I'm reading it right now. Donald Trump called. Let me read what you sent me.
Oh, you go ahead.
This is what you sent me. This is from your text, which is fascinating because I think they got in there and did some editing.
Interesting.
Donald Trump called immigrants in the United States illegally animals, quote unquote, and not humans, unquote, in a speech in Michigan on Tuesday.
Right.
The Republican presidential candidate, flanked by several law enforcement officers, listed several criminal cases involving suspects in the country illegally and warned that such violence and chaos would consume America if he did not win the November 5th election. I'm telling you, they edited it.
Well, no, but what you just shared is in the next paragraph below what I just read. So are you telling me? So look at your story once again.
I am.
Where Donald Trump called immigrants in the United States illegally animals and not human in a speech in Michigan on Tuesday. Your sentence ends there and it drops right down to the Republican presidential
candidate? It drops right to the Republican presidential candidate.
Because mine contains a comma and then says, resorting to the degrading rhetoric he has employed time and again.
That's been excised. I'm looking at your article.
Wow.
I'm looking at the article you sent me. So they're doing damage control. But here's the bottom line. Somebody wrote it.
Yeah.
Somebody posted it.
It got
somebody at News. Somebody at Newsmax thought it was a good idea. Now, maybe somebody went rogue. I've got friends over there, and I got somebody right now investigating. In fact, it's going all the way to the top, because believe me, Newsmax is taking a beating. Here's what you just got to be aware of something. You got to be able to trust the media that you engage with. That's why I think you and I have had such success and warmth and wonderful things that have happened over. They trust us. People trust us. They want to turn to Mark Davis. They want to turn to Mike Gallagher, and they don't want to be surprised by something coming out of the speakers.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday, I held my breath because I said something that, for me, was very painful.
Mm-hmm.
They are licking their chops here in Florida. You should see the local media in Florida about the abortion six-week ban that's going to take place May 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? I know that the Republicans can control this. The only thing that can hurt us November 5th is the abortion issue.
The only thing.
It's the only thing. It ain't going to be crime. It ain't going to be border.
Gotcha.
The only thing that can hurt us electorally is going to be the abortion debate, because it has already hurt us, Mark. We haven't won one time at the ballot box. Not once, my friend.
Ohio,
you and I
Kansas,
are staunch.
Every time these things come up.
Alabama. Yep. The other day, the woman, Democrat in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because she campaigned on abortion rights. And I'm telling you, it is going to get us slaughtered. We're going to see 2022 all over again. Republicans in the state houses all over America have just got to sit on this until November the 6th. And we'll be. And when I knew I was going to say that, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to get slaughtered. I got to speak my heart. You got to trust me. This is how I feel. Mark, I couldn't get practically anybody to disagree with.
For those unfamiliar who maybe just stumbled across this magical, either of our magical shows, a thing of Mike for a good long while here has been, of course we're pro-life, of course we want to protect the unborn, but if we come down with a sledgehammer on that in a country that's just going yabbada 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 with the overturn of Roe v. Wade, we're just getting people used to the notion of the states having control, obeying the Constitution, and having control over their own abortion laws. If we come at them with a nationwide six-week ban or just a really heavy, heavy-handed pro-lifeness, we will have morally done the right thing, but we will lose so much that you've got to ask yourself, how many lives have we saved when all those Democrats win the elections? And I think you have a pretty strong point about that.
Well, it breaks my heart because I know how many babies we're going to lose because Republicans are saying, like Ron DeSantis even, Republicans all over America are saying, you know what, we got an opportunity to save lives here. What's going to happen is, And in Florida, it started out as a 15-week ban.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, they moved the goalpost and said, well, let's make it six.
Heartbeat. Yep.
As the media was screaming last night, most women don't know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. So when they hear that imagery, and again, this is rhetoric, and I know it's propaganda, but when they hear that, we have to realize, Mark, we're going to lose electorally. The Republicans have the opportunity to say, we're going to sit on all of this. We're not advancing anything else. Mm-hmm. We're not going to put anything else before the voters. We're not going to try to fight anything in the courts. Let's wait until November. If we don't, we're not going to win. And we're going to, I mean, I'm reading right here over the Dallas Express, the head of one of the country's most accurate pollsters, the TIPP poll. It has been deemed one of, if not the most accurate poll in presidential elections. In fact, he had Biden up by 4 points, just a half a, in 2020, just a half a point off the final result. And he's saying, "Hey, Trump's having a moment right now. Mm-hmm. Trump's ahead. Trump is winning. Trump is probably going to win." But the pollster admitted, "I'm not sure what the abortion issue does to the November 2024 election." I'll tell you something, Mark. I'm sure what it does. Yeah. It kills us. It destroys us. There's it clobbers
an, there's
us.
There's an old adage, because I just the internal conflict in me, and you've graciously pointed that out, because I always like to speak truth with love, and I don't like to muzzle truths or fool people. However, there's an old adage that says, let everything you say be truth, but not all truths need to be spoken right now. And so what would you have candidates who are asked this on the campaign trail? I don't want them to lie. I don't want them to say, well, suddenly I'm a little more pro-choice than I was 6 months ago. Can't have that. So what would the phraseology be of the candidate that says, you know, hey, you know, candidate Mike Gallagher running for, you know, whatever seat in the Senate or whatever seat in Congress. What is your thought on this pro-life wave of desire for some type of national abortion restriction?
There's an answer, and it comes from the guy who wants to be the 47th president. He's going to speak on this next week. Mm-hmm. Trump was asked about it yesterday, and I know for a fact, not for any personal inside knowledge, he has addressed this. He knows politically how tough this issue is, mm-hmm. and he's going to address it next week. And knowing Trump, mm-hmm. I mean, I guarantee you, he is. I believe we're going to get a very important message from him, and it's going to be it's going to assuage those who think that he wants a full.
He clearly doesn't. Go ahead, because I mean, he criticized the heartbeat bill in Florida,
and that's going to infuriate pro-lifers. He's going to infuriate pro-lifers. Mm-hmm. You have got to trust that his instincts are right on this. He's got to win, Mark, before he can get anything done.
He gave us the justices that overturned Roe v. Wade. He has given Correct. The states the freedom to chart their own course. You got to crawl before you walk. There's no such thing. There's nothing Correct. As strong as an idea whose time has come. The national ban is not an idea whose time has come yet. I have the patience. The abolition of slavery took a while to marinate, but we got there. And we'll get there on this, too. And I have endless patience for the president.
People are short-sighted on this, and let me share with the text I just got from Dallas and show you how short. Not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. I know this texter has their heart is in the right place, mm-hmm. and you almost sounded like Mark Davis 6 months ago. I think Mark, you're adjusting a little bit, because here's what somebody just said: as conservatives, we can't kill unborn babies just to win elections. Mm-hmm. If we do, then we're just liberal Democrats. Yeah. Here's the problem. Yeah. You're not thinking about the long game.
Yes.
You're not thinking about, in other words, you're saying, let's have a momentary victory yep. on behalf of life, which yep. I appreciate. And I know this Dallas texter does too.
All about it.
Mm-hmm. Guess what? If we don't win in November,
yep.
you're going to have a lot of dead babies.
How much carnage will we have if we can sit there and spike the ball and talk about how ardently and vociferously pro-life we were at every second when all of a sudden Biden's reelected and we have Democrat majorities in the House and the Senate. How many babies have we saved then?
That's right. You're just not people that they are instinctively reacting in the moment. And again, I don't want to criticize these people because they are fellow pro-lifers. I get it. I totally understand it. But you've got to think long term. If you can't say, well, we've won the battle because we're going to lose the war on the issue of life and the sanctity of life. So that's think long term. You've got to think election. Final point. You've been talking about the VP, sweepstakes.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. We shouldn't mm-hmm. pick VPs based on their, as you put it, pigment or plumbing.
Right.
But this is probably the perfect time for a female vice presidential running.
If you've got a Sarah Huckabee Sanders,
yep.
You know, why not? Because it's not her womanhood that makes her great. It's her mind and her heart and her spine and her track record. If, oh, by the way, woman, yay, because you're right. There is something about that that's pretty cool.
To nervous Republican women, many of whom are upset about these abortion restrictions. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I don't mm-hmm. get it. Mm-hmm. You call yourself a conservative, mm-hmm. but this is a woman thing. I hate to say it, but a lot of women feel strongly about this. That might be the answer, is to get a Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Again, not just that she's a woman, mm-hmm. but as a woman, she can properly message this.
Yep.
It's the messaging, Mark.
Yes,
it's
is.
The way we
All
deliver this. Messaging. I'm absolutely shocked at the way people agreed with me yesterday. So, hey, we're going to keep onward and upward.
All right, hang on a second. Let's see if we can do this. Da-da-da-da. Everyone should listen to the Mike Gallagher Show. And there we are.
Well, I got the most important one. Are there cheeseburgers in this establishment? So we'll see here what she's with it.
You know what I love? I guess there is a cheeseburger.
That's right. It's like the Americanized.
What's Japanese for cheeseburger? Apparently, it's a cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger.
And you say you can't function in Japan. I would suggest
I'm thinking there ain't many cheeseburgers over there.
I bet there's a cheeseburger on every corner.
I want some Kobe beef. Ooh, yeah. I can't remember. I remember that from my last visit.
Is Wagyu Japanese as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Where the Wagyu cows are beef? Massaged and they're all happy or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's a bit.
Happy cows.
I think that's a racket.
Oh, the whole thing's a racket. Yeah. Trust me, I'm going to be in the poorhouse on this stupid trip.
$75 an ounce for some happy cow.
And April 8th, the world's coming to an end. I won't be able to get back.
More on that tomorrow.
I'll take up Japanese. I got to learn the language. Wednesday, my friend.
Happy Wednesday, Mike Gallagher. Ready to go. 10 o'clock soon as we're done. 6:60 a.m. The answer. Okay, here's what I do. I pick a year at random that's, you know, way pre-1955, pre-rock era. And I said, 1943. And I went to the top hits of 1943. And there's an outfit called the Song Spinners. It was two men, two women, and a vocal group. And I thought, okay, I've heard of them, never done anything by them. And a song called Johnny Zero. Okay, so here we go. The premise is
Johnny got a zero.
So they call him Johnny Zero, like he had a bad grade in class, right? You know what the song's about?
Johnny got a zero.
Johnny, featured in the song, develops a talent. He goes into the military. And again, this is 1943. Don't get ahead of me. Yeah, Johnny got a zero, all right. He goes into the military, becomes a fighter pilot. Johnny brought down various Japanese Mitsubishi A6s in World War II that were affectionately called the Zero. Johnny got a zero, shooting Japanese planes out of the sky.
When he grew up, he left his body.
Okay. We're getting along much better with Japan now, to Mike's benefit and yours and mine. All right, 866-660-5759. Much more of your calls and many more topics as we continue.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.